Well, I love all of you beautiful people. I'm thankful to be here tonight. And I certainly ask an interest in your prayers that our time together would be something that the Lord would bless each one of our hearts. Appreciated the song service tonight, and I love to sing that song about faith and just the experience that we have where the Lord carries us. And Song to Brothers sang, that second verse says, I've tried my own way so many times. And I sing that song, and it's like, it doesn't matter how many years it's been since I've sang it, I have fresh things to think about where I've tried my own way so many times. And it's part of what we have to deal with in life is that we get to a place where we begin to have a dependency on ourselves, our own thoughts, our own wisdom. And if there is anything I can leave you with tonight, and I think the general burden that I have is that our dependency would be on God, and that the Lord has something for us that answers the challenges of our time. I thought of this, had this message in my heart for some time, felt like the Lord wanted me to bring it here, and Lord brought to my mind the parable of the sower of the seeds. And there's a number of different things that the Lord addresses there, but I was particularly inspired by the thought about the seeds that fell, and then the cares of life and the cares of this world choke that seed out. And I feel like the time that we live in, it's that is the time that we live in as our culture and as our generation. And I look around the congregation, and I think all of us here know who the Lord is and probably have had an experience with the Lord or have an experience with Him. And we find that the beauty of salvation and the relationship with Him, but this is the fight that we have on our hands, is that the world that we're inside of, that is all around us, is a constant drain and a pressure to draw our hearts and our mind and our attention away from the things of God. And we cannot live in a bubble. We cannot just hide our head in the sand. We cannot go live in a commune somewhere and just share everything together. But we have to live in this world. We have to work in this world. We have responsibilities that are even God-given. But if we're not careful, those things take over our life and they choke out the things that the Lord has for us. The busyness of this life. And we live in a time of instant gratification. We want things immediately. If we have to wait more than a few minutes, we're usually not too happy and looking for the complaint line because this took a little longer than it should have. And that breeds then an environment where we're constantly looking for the next stimulation and the next thing, and we just get all caught up in the cares of this world. And I'm especially thinking that there are things that are totally lawful, even things that we have to take care of and responsibilities. But my heart is especially burdened, and I've experienced it too, that those things will take the joy out of life that God intends for us to live with. I am not naturally a joyful person. I'm just not. I'm not the. I love Brother Tony's spirit, and he jumps and shouts. I am not that man. The Lord did not make me that way. And my thought process doesn't go in that direction naturally. And in life, I have to fight those feelings of oppression, and just it's just part of my personality that I have to deal with. So I'm not up here just ready to jump and shout to everybody, just be happy. But the Lord has something for us that sustains us through all the things that we encounter in life. And that's my burden this morning, is that we're able to take those cares and those things that have caused us to live from sigh to sigh, to where we find the joy of the Lord in every day and the experiences that we have in this world. He intends for us to enjoy it. The Lord has made beautiful things for us to see and enjoy in this world. But if we're not careful, all of the cacophony of the world, just it overwhelms us, and it's more than we can handle. We have to detox in a sense sometimes. And when I thought of this particular passage about the sower, I have some property where we live, and I don't mind mowing because I can get on that little zero turn and put my headphones in and listen to songs or books or not. I actually enjoy it. I can't hear my phone ring, and I can get in a zone, and it's nice. But I hate to weed eat. It's the last thing in the world I want to do. It makes me tired. My arms hurt. The things fly all over. I don't enjoy it. And dealing with weeds in our life is not something that's fun to do. But that's the very things that choke out what God intends for us to have. I want to read a scripture in Isaiah in the 61st chapter. And focusing tonight on the third verse. It says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And this verse is at the center, at the foundation of my heart. It's that we start in this place. I mean, when I think about beauty for ashes, people put a lot of different connotations on that. But a lot of what this scripture is talking about is the sorrowfulness of the spirit. That you put on sackcloth and ashes, and there's a spirit of heaviness, and there's a weight that presses down. And especially if you are in Zion and there's no deliverance, it's a place of heaviness. It's a place of desiring release, that everything is just too much. It's more than I can handle. And I know that this, and I think about this in the beginning of salvation, that when we start our experience with the Lord, we find this. But I find that through time and circumstance, the devil wants to put these same things back on us again. To take the joy and the things that the Lord wants to do in our heart, He wants to burden us down to the point that we lose sight of what salvation has really brought in our heart and in our life. And my desire tonight is that if you're under that oppression, the Lord has deliverance for it. This is what He came to bring. And I love the first part of this about setting the captive free. Preached a lot of messages on what Jesus preached here. But my heart is especially burdened for the spirit of heaviness that comes from just living in this world. And God had the answer for it. And I want to touch on a few of these things, but to me, part of the spirit of this verse is that I think of a funeral and I think of a wedding. It's what goes through my mind. And because the sackcloth and ashes and this heaviness is a time of sorrow, that I've lost something. But a wedding is something that's typically beautiful. That you put on the beautiful clothes, and the anointing on the head is anointed, and it's a time of celebration. And that's really what salvation is. It's a celebration of something that has died, that has been brought to life again. So that when I think of it in that context then, and I live my life and I think about all the circumstances that we deal with, I don't want to lose sight of what the Lord really brought and delivered by His power. Not by my own, not by my self-determination, not by my 10-step plan, not by my working out in the morning, not by all the things that I might do to relieve the stress in my life. God brought something to satisfy the spirit and the personality within us that He delivered. And this is the joy of salvation. It's not by our own effort. It's not by our own determination. It's God does this for us. And through all of our experience, our dependency is on God to give us that joy in our heart, no matter what the situations in life bring. We get caught up, like the song said, I've tried my own way. So you can serve the Lord for 50 years and you'll still often try our own way, and we have to come back again and say, Lord, I need you to do this for me. I could not change my circumstances in this case, and I cannot change them all through my experience with the Lord. I need Him to meet me in every situation and circumstance that we deal with. I'm totally dependent on Him. I don't have any garments of my own to stand on. I need the Lord. I need Him. When I don't feel forgiveness, I need Him to make me feel forgiven. I need Him to allow me to let things go. I need Him to take bitterness out of my heart. I cannot force myself to live in a place where these garments and the anointing, it's the Lord that does it. And it doesn't change no matter how many experiences and how much knowledge and wisdom and revelation that I get. It all comes back to I'm dependent on God to allow this life to be ours on a daily basis. Think about the term that says beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And some people may think one thing is beautiful and other people don't. But I'm interested in what God views as beautiful. I want to be beautiful in His sight?
Yes.
That's what I want.
Yes.
I want when He looks at me, for Him to see beauty.
Amen.
I look in the mirror, I don't see beauty. But when God looks at me, I want Him to see something beautiful.
Amen.
And He intends for that.
Yes.
And there is something about this that when I think about myself and I look at myself honestly, I see ugliness. I see myself for who I am. One of the songs said, I know my weaknesses. The Lord knows my weaknesses. I don't see a beautiful person. But the Lord is able to make something beautiful out of something that's very ugly. And I think about this scripture here in 1 Peter in the 3rd chapter. Brother Marty referenced it last night, but I want to bring it up again. And it's talking to the wives here, but before you feel too vindicated, I'll bring another verse also. So 1 Peter in the 3rd chapter and in the 3rd verse, who said, whose adorning let it not be with the outward adorning or the plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. And I just want to put it in our mind that the salvation and the joy that the Lord brings is not something that we put on. This is not something that we just present to those that are around us by our own effort or by our own determination. Even our modest dress or the way, it is not the representation of what the joy, the Lord, what He has clothed us with. Yes, it's a result of what God has done inside, but it goes beyond that. There's people that dress plainer or more strict than we do. That's not what makes us beautiful in the eyes of God. It just simply isn't. We view it that way. We'll walk on the campground and say, oh, this, look at all the beautiful people, because there's a standard that we hold to. But it's more than that. It's more than an outward standard. Because he goes on to say, but let it be. This is what God is looking for in our life. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, not able to be decayed or turned to ash, so to speak, but instead even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, of great price. So this is the beauty that God beholds. It's the meek and the quiet spirit. And he's dealing with the propensity of our nature that women want to be beautiful. There's a whole part of that exists in this. But he's speaking specifically to what God finds beauty in, or what he sees of great price. And it's this meek and quiet spirit. This is what God is looking for. And in order for that joy, and in order for him to bring that anointing, this is what it requires. Let's read another verse in Matthew in the 11th chapter. This is in one of the songs too this evening, one of the special songs. Sing it about, come unto me. And when I think about the cares of life and the things that begin to maybe destroy, or maybe destroy is too strong of a word. They restrict, or they cast a bushel, or they begin to limit the joy that we feel. And I think about these cares of life and the things that we get so involved in. Matthew in the 11th chapter and in the 28th verse, this was Jesus' message. And now it's to everyone, but it's the same thing that he's looking for. This is what Christ embodied. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And is that not what our world is altogether? It's labored and heavy laden. It's full of all the cares and the stresses and the things and the goals and the determination. And we get so, our vision and our goals get skewed, when what God is really looking for is something that is within us that is submitted unto him. Come and learn of me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for what? I am meek and I am lowly. This is the answer to the stresses and the troubles and the oppression that I feel in life every time, is to come back to the Lord and say, Lord, I humble myself. Me, I take your spirit, who you are, I want that to be within me, and do that work. And again, it's not a physical representation where I put ash on my face and I lay. There is something that the Lord does in our heart when we humble ourselves before him that he takes. the cares and the stresses, the perspective changes. This is his heart, is to give us the joy of this life and the garment of praise, to anoint our head, to take the ugliness of what our life and our choices and our way and our will and our determination and our opinions. It's all ash. It doesn't turn into anything good. But the Lord has something beautiful for us when we give our life and our heart to him. He creates something that he looks at. And I thought about it in the sense of creation, that when he created light, he created the heavens and the earth, and he would say, oh, this is good. Create light, this is good. And I believe that it's the same response from God. When we humble ourselves before him and he does this work, he says, this is good. I created this in you, in me. And that's the beauty that God desires to see in our life. So as I go through and I gain knowledge and wisdom and even the blessings that God gives, it does not change the beauty that God is looking for in our life. That in his eye is for us to come unto him, to cast our burdens on him, to rely on him and be dependent on him. No matter what, no matter what the situations or what I'm dealing with, or people or job or responsibilities or it, all of those things, I have to bring and give to the Lord and rely on him to as his will. Pray, Lord, do you want me here? Do you not want me here? Whatever the Lord has entrusted in our hands is still his. We have a tendency to start to think it's ours. That I've got to care for this, or I've got to deal with it. It doesn't matter whether it's what the burden the Lord's given me in his work, whether it's my ministry, whether it's a pastorship, whether it's a teacher, whether it's as a father or as a husband, or if I have people that work for me, if I have other things, all of it, all of those things he's put in my hands are still his. I'm dependent on him to satisfy and to meet the needs of my life on a daily basis. Are you tired of your own efforts? I don't know how I get there over and over again. Sometimes I look in the mirror and I say, you're so dumb. When are you going to learn? And just like get it through your skull that you can't do it on your own. That I need the Lord. And sometimes we're so wise in our own eyes and we're so determined and we're just so sure we're right and that everyone should just agree with me. And I got lots of stories about that. A lot of my brothers aren't here. One time we're in Alabama and I was so sure this was the way to go, and Steve's saying go that way. So we went my way, and guess what? I was wrong. But I was so sure that I knew the answer. Lord, I'm dependent on you. I don't want to get in the place where I've made the decision and I've taken the walk because I'm just so sure in my own might and in my own thought process. Lord, I need you to direct. I need you to show me. I'm dependent on you to maintain what you've done in my life from the beginning and all the way through. Think about Jeremiah in the 18th chapter. And I won't read all of this, and it's a familiar passage, but it says, the word came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to Potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. I want to hear his words. Go down and hear my words. Then I went down to the Potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made again another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter and make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, there's a passage here where they would not repent or receive what God had for them. And God had an intention and a purpose. And as I meditated on that and thought about it, it's the Lord has something that he wants to work and create. We heard last night about being that earthen vessel that he wants to build and create to hold his spirit, to hold his glory, to hold the treasure that the Lord has. And I think about that meek and that quiet or that lowly spirit. It is the ingredient that allows God to do the work that he wants to. And if you read, I don't know if I wrote it down here. The 15th verse says, because my people have forgotten me and have burned incense to vanity, they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient path, to walk in paths in a way not cast up, to make their land desolate and a perpetual hissing. And every one that passeth thereby shall be astonished and wag his head. Are you in that place? Lord, speak to our heart that when we begin to go in our own direction, when we begin to go by our own might, and the Lord is wanting to work something, we will find ourselves in a place of great sighing, of great heaviness. The spirit is oppressed. There's a result of that that requires a submission to the Lord that He can rework what He intends to work in our life. And until we come to that place and say, okay, Lord, I give it back to You. Lord, I take my all those things that cause me to be where I am, I give it all back to You. It's Yours. And when I do that and submit myself, then the Lord is able to work another vessel that is appropriate, that He desires to build. There's a scripture in Psalms, I wrote it down, or in Isaiah, that says, "But now, O Lord, Thou art Father, and we are clay, Thou art the potter, we are the work of Thy hand." Yes. And being the work of His hand means that whatever the Lord determines, that's the work I want in my life. It's not up to me to determine. I can't lean to my own understanding. And when they come to the place where I'm sighing and I'm tired and life has lost its joy, and I've got myself in a place where it's hard to get up in the morning. And I want to just say something for a moment, though. There are times in our life when we deal with mourning. We have broken hearts. We have places where we have a heaviness, and that's part of our humanity. And I'm not talking about that tonight, because there are times when my heart is broken and I don't feel happy. I'm under the pain that we experience as Jesus experienced it. When Lazarus died, when John the Baptist died, there were times that his heart was broken and he sorrowed in those places. And we do sorrow. But this is a spirit of oppression that I'm talking about. This is a place where we've come under something and we've lost the joy of the Lord in our life. And we're going to have to decide and realize that if I keep walking this way, desolate is the land that I'll be in. And it may have been great at one point. It doesn't matter to it, whether we've served the Lord 1 year, 5 years, 10, it's all the same. I'm dependent on Him. And if I don't yield myself to Him all along the way, I will end in a desolate land. I've got to submit myself to Him that He can work Himself or work us according to His will. Matthew in the 6th chapter, the 25th verse. He started here in the 21st verse. He said, "For your treasure is there where your heart be also." And if your treasure is not in heaven or to be beautiful in the eyes of God, you're going to struggle. Because the cares and the pleasures of this world and the things that would draw us in will lead us away from the joy that the Lord has for us every time. We have to view things in light of eternity and our time on earth, and that it's God's provision that we need in our life to bring us joy and peace and a sense of peace and calm in our life is going to come from our priority, our heart be setting on treasures that are set in heaven. In 25th verse here, he said, "Therefore, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat and the body than raiment?" This flies in direct contrast to our nature. We're food, shelter, and protection. I mean, these are the things that we think about, and we have an abundance. So maybe we don't think of it in those terms, but we need to go to the doctrine of the Lord and not the doctrine of Dave Ramsey. We're not here to build generational wealth. We're here to follow the Lord and to have Him work in our life and develop something that He's pleased with, and our provision comes from Him. He may have some good things to say, but we're not here to build wealth for generations and for us to build some. He said, take no thought of those things. That's not what's important, yet that's what we focus all of our time on in our culture, in our generation, in the society that's around us. "Behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap. They gather, nor don't gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? Lord, I got it figured out. We'll do this and this and this and that. That's what'll work pretty well. That's the fastest way to find yourself with a heaviness, and the joy is gone, and life has become hard when we begin to add thoughts to the stature of God or to his direction. Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. God dressed those things in his beauty. He dressed them as he saw fit. And they did not have to work for it in some self-sustaining sense. He made it, and it was beautiful because he built it. And Solomon, he had money, he had wisdom, he had all these things going for him. And yet when God looks upon the lily, and he looks upon the fowl of the air, he sees the beauty that he created. When he looks at Solomon, what does he see? He may have the riches, he may have the wisdom. Lord, I want to be beautiful in your sight, because in this I'm going to find a garment of praise. I'm going to find an anointing that comes from God. I'm going to have those things in my life that satisfy through every season. That whether I'm young or old or in the middle or trying to figure things out or life has been torn up or upside down, that all of those things, when our dependency is on the Lord and we're leaning on him, we're going to find the peace and the joy and the contentment that it's the best that this life can offer. And yet I say unto you that Solomon, 30th verse says, wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, or all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So what does it mean to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Except you become as a little child, shall no wise enter in. That when we're in the kingdom of God, it's he that's the protector and the provider. It's he that built it. It's his kingdom. We're a child of the king. We enjoy the benefits of the king. And yet I'm over here. I'm in the kingdom, but then I've got my own kingdom that I'm so stressed and so worried about. I want to seek after the kingdom of righteousness and all of these things. The things that make our life beautiful are the things that God adds and adorns. And I got inspired by the thought here that the grass that he makes pretty and it goes into the oven tomorrow, the things that he clothes his children with are eternal. The things that he adorns his child with, that has he given his heart to him, they last forever. They don't burn up. They don't lay in the grave. They transition from this life to the next. The robes that he has, the beauty, the things he wants to put in our life are forever. So that's why he has to look at it and say, that's something that has value, that is beautiful. I built that in that life, and now they'll enjoy it not only in this time, but for all eternity. That is something of great value and wealth and beauty, and it's only God that can build that in our life. Cannot do it ourselves. Any time that we begin to stand in our own thoughts and our own mind, it's just filthy. It doesn't have any value. It will burn. God, I need your will. I need your vision. I need to understand what it is you require from me in this life. What is it you want me to do with the days that you've given me? And I want to put all my heart into that, to seek after that kingdom with all of my heart and all of the beauty that God has. He will be more than happy. It's his good pleasure to adorn us with the beauty of his Spirit. Ephesians in the second chapter. In the first verse. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of obedience. It's a lot of ash, and it's a lot of heaviness. It's a spirit of heaviness. There's a sorrow that exists in this place, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And the fourth verse is that, but God. And it's that, it's but God in the beginning. When we start with Him, it's but God. Every single step of the way, it's but God. It is never but Ken. It is never but Ida. It is always but God, who is rich in love and mercy, has done something in our life. And that's what we stand on. And whenever we begin to get our mind and our attention and our heart really, the desires wrapped around the cares and the and even, again, good, responsible things, whenever we begin to make that our essence, we're going to lose this that God intended to give to us. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. You ever felt like you weren't good enough for God? And I mean, you've lived for the Lord for a while, and then you still don't feel... We weren't ever. It was never by my merit. It was never that God looked down at me and said, oh, there's something I can, that's worth something I can save in there. You can look at an old car and say, well, there's some good body panels. We can restore that and find some value. Don't throw it in the trash. It's not something there that was like, I was good enough that God decided. I was dead in sin. I was nothing. And if that's what started my relationship with God, I don't ever get to the point where now it's by my merit. Well, God, I've accomplished something. I've succeeded. Now you owe me. It's, Lord, I'm dependent on you every step of the way. And the beauty that you've put in my life is because of you. I want to be obedient. I want to be faithful to what, but it's again, by your grace that I am obedient. It's by your grace that I have understanding to obey. It always goes back to, but God, who is rich in love and mercy, He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. That is the heritage or the place where God wants us to live. Do we still have troubles? Of course. Do I still feel sorrow in this life? Of course. Do I feel disappointment? Often. Yes. But we can still sit in these heavenly places in Christ because He has changed us from the old ashes of my own will and my own desire. And now I'm living for Him from day to day. It says, for by grace you are saved from faith, not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not by our works. It's not by what we've accomplished. It never comes to that place. Again, and I've mentioned it before, I think of the when they cast their crowns before God, I can't ever get that image out of my head because He was the one. Even when we get to heaven, it will be, it's because of you that I'm here. And this robe that you've given me is because of you. And so the worship of our heart that we feel on a daily basis will still be the same worship of our heart for ages to come. That I was in ashes, I was in a spirit of heaviness, I was broken, and it came time for a celebration because you did something in my heart that changed my environment. And then the battle we have on our hands is that we don't go back, that we don't lose what the Lord has delivered to us, to take again those things that cause our brow to be furrowed and the heaviness of life and the sighs that, again, you've heard living from victory to victory, and it's my heart's desire. It's not always there all the time. I need the Lord to help me, but I most definitely don't want to live from sigh to sigh. Don't have to live there anymore. From heartache to heartache, this is what the Lord brought. Not by our own works. It says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Oh, this is, now I see the beauty. Then God looks and He sees the beauty in our life. It's the good works that He has built in us, His workmanship. Why do I then get to the place sometimes I think it's up to me? And I mean, there are some things in life that we can power through. There are some situations that we can get, that sometimes by determination or just willpower, we can, but there are, if you think you can stand by your own strength, I promise you there will come places in life that you are completely and utterly at a loss. Lord, I cannot change the way that I feel. I cannot change the emotions. I cannot change what's happening in my flesh, and I need you. If you don't ever come to that place, then you're, Lord, help us to see what the Lord is wanting to do in our life. Because we are His workmanship, which means, like Paul, we're going to come to the place where it's, Lord, if you don't do something, I cannot change how I am. I can't forgive this person, or I can't let this bitterness go, or I'm just at a place where, God, you're going to have to do again the work as you have had all along. And then it is His good works. It's what He has built in His creation. And when He looks at it, He says, this is good. I've done this. I've made this. Those things, love, joy, the beautifying of what God does. Someone said something about there's nothing more beautiful than the saints of God. And what it is it's a testament to the grace of God and the working that God has done in people's lives. And because if you took any of us individually and you say, oh, you're such a beautiful saint, how comfortable would you be for someone to say, you're such a beautiful saint? You immediately, well, wait a minute. That God has done something. I have not achieved some status. It's the Lord. And that's all my dependency. And if there's beautiful things that He has done, it's because of His grace and His mercy. And I want to follow that all the way. One last scripture I'll read here. I thought of the verse in Revelations. He talks about being lukewarm. And He encouraged them to buy. They thought they were well off. But if you'll notice in that passage, He talks about the raiment that they have. There is something the Lord dresses us with. And I appreciated the message last night talking about the outer bag just being durable and nothing significant. And my burden is what God has dressed us. And we say on the inside, but it is on the outside. It's what God has performed in our life. There's a place, I'll get it. It's 61, back in Isaiah in the 61st chapter. If you drop on down here, and in the 10th verse, it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, and my soul shall be joyful in my God. For He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorned herself with her jewels. That's beautiful. And those jewels and those things that the Lord anoints and puts in place that speak to His glory, demonstrate who He is, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. So I encourage you tonight, if you're in a place of oppression where you've lost that joy in your life, where life has become just a hardship from hardship, do our situations always change? There are some places in life that are difficult and they take time to get through. But the Lord still has a place for us to live where we don't live in sackcloth and ashes. We live in a place where He has beautified and He has anointed our head with oil and He has given us a garment of praise. And it says so that we can be planted trees of righteousness like a mighty firm oak that is stable and secure. And this is what the Lord has done for us. If you're in a place where you need that refreshing or that renewing, the Lord wants to give you that tonight to renew and reset that joy of what He wants to have in our life from day to day. Pray for me.